Here you press at least 4 digits
Blog
of your PIN number.
Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer.
Thank you for
love,
using Blog Talk Radio.
Compassion
Goodbye.
And empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you guys with us today, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We're just trying to, we apologize for starting late this evening, but I've had some major connection problems. So we're so, again, excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you would, if you join us for devotion, we will go ahead and get started. Stop. Okay, we're back into the studio now, and everything is functioning as it should be. I don't know what is going on. We couldn't get the studio to come on. We couldn't get anything started. But we're going to start off with song, scripture, and prayer. And we're not going to let the Lord, the enemy deter us tonight. We're going to go ahead in the name of the Lord, any old how. And so we're going to start off with a song by Yolanda Adams, Open My Heart.
Especially today, when my life
Tonight's reading will be coming from the book of the 139 book of Psalms. We'll be reading verses 6 through 8. This is the New Living Translation. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. I read for you from the 139 books of Psalms, verses 6 through 8. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, understanding, and doing of his word.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, let us pray.
Well, you know,
God, we come before you tonight just asking your guidance and your strength. God, we rejoice at the fact that your spirit dwells inside of us. Help us to see you and experience you and understand that you are with us. And God, we ask a blessing upon this Bible study. Bless our leader today, Dr. Susie. God, we pray that someone would be touched by your word and your lesson today that you will teach us. Help us, God, to be representatives of you. Help us to show your love to other people. God, we pray that we can reflect you to a world that needs to hear from you. And God, we truly need a touch from you today. We submit to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We are so excited to be here because the enemy is doing everything he can today to deter it, from the computer not working at all to the studio not being working either. So having to do all the tech work to get things up and running. But praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Things go on anyhow. So there must be a
Amen.
Real reason why the enemy doesn't want the word to go out tonight. But I got a word. You a lie and the truth ain't in you. And so I know that the God that we serve has a purpose for this Bible study tonight, and we're going to go forth. So our topic tonight is God the Holy Spirit, and it's for the whole month of May. But we're going to break it up into five parts. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, or Hebrew Scriptures. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. We're going to talk about May 15th, the Holy Spirit as Comforter, the Holy Spirit as Teacher, and how the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance and point us to Jesus on our final week. But I want to take us back to tonight. Brother Eric read a text, and in that text, in this Psalm 139 text, which reads in the Old Testament, which is our focus tonight, is after the Lord says, David says to the Lord, you search me, you know me, you know where I sit, where I rise, you discern my going out and my lying down, you're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You've hemmed me in behind and before. You've laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And the key that we need to understand tonight, it says, where can I go from your spirit?
My Lord.
And Brother Eric, what does it say? What is it? You read it. What does it say? Where
can
you go?
You can't go anywhere. Can't get away from God's spirit. You can't go to the mountains.
Absolutely.
You can't go to the depths of the sea. You can't go to heaven. You can't go to the place of the dead. You can't go to the farthest ocean. You can't go anywhere.
So what does that mean for us tonight, for all those of us who are on the line? What does that mean for the believer who's listening tonight? When you understand there's nowhere that you can go from God's spirit, what does that mean? What's the security in that?
Amen. God is always with us. God's spirit is always
Amen.
With us. But we're never
so
alone.
No matter what. Amen. Amen. Or whatever it is we might be going through. We don't have to worry
Amen.
About it, Dr. Nooks. Isn't that right? Because that no matter
Amen.
What we're dealing with, according to Dr. Nooks, It don't matter if you're up, as Eric said, in heaven, in hell, on the mountain, in the sea, God is there. He's omnipresent.
Amen.
What does that mean, y'all? Omnipresent.
Everywhere.
God
everywhere.
Is everywhere at the same time.
Amen.
The only being that can be everywhere at the same time. So no matter where that is, God's spirit is there. So if you're struggling and you're wondering, I'm here all alone, I can't pay my bills, I'm alone, I'm being attacked, I'm alone, I'm afraid, whatever it is, Brother Eric, isn't that right? No matter, I mean, does anybody have a witness,
but,
a testimony?
But you're not alone. That's just
Amen.
It, you're not alone.
Amen. You're not. You perceive that. We may have an idea because we're going through something, but that's the reminder right there is that you're not alone. And guess what? It means that when you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, that you're not alone.
Amen.
Well?
Amen. You can't run. You can't run from God. And Job found that out. Paul found that out. I mean, you can't run from God. And many of us think that if we go and hide someplace and get in the dark, then God's not going to be there. But God's there even in the dark. In 139, it says even the nighttime is like daytime to God. So you can't run from God.
But don't we sometimes think, well, if I don't go to church, or if I don't do this, or if I don't do that, I mean, what are we really saying?
Mm-hmm.
We've forgotten in Scripture that no matter what, God is there, so
mm-hmm.
your whatever it is you're doing is not going to hinder God's program or stop God from being wherever you are or knowing whatever it is that you're
Amen.
Doing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, tonight as we look at this idea and we're understanding that God is everywhere. So that means, was God in creation?
Amen. Yes.
Was God as the Holy Spirit? God as the Son? We've already said God the Father. God the Son was at creation, but was God the Holy Spirit at creation? So what I'd like you to do, Dr. Nooks, Brother Brett, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Do you have your Bible tonight?
Yes.
So I'm going to give you a scripture. I'm going to start with you last. I want you to get yours and say yours last. Isaiah 32:15. Job 26:13. Dr. Nooks, Genesis 1:2. And I want to read these quick scriptures because I want us to see how the Holy Spirit participated in creation. And there's four things why they're getting those scriptures I want to remind us tonight, and that is the Spirit participated in creation, and we're going to look at how that was, what the scriptures say. The Spirit gives life to humanity and others. We see that in the Old Testament. This is all what the Spirit is doing in the Old Testament. We can't cover all the things, but just a few of them. And then the Spirit strives with sinners in the Old Testament and what that looks like. The Spirit came upon God's people in the Old Testament came upon them versus lived in them. We're going to look at that. And we're going to do those few things, and then we're going to try to get a few more. But if we don't, we'll at least get those four things on how we understand the Spirit operating in the Old Testament. And this is just to say that the Spirit did operate in the Old Testament. Yes, you got it?
What was
Amen.
That again? Isaiah what?
32:15, Brett.
Got it.
So, Dr. Nitz, go ahead.
Okay, I'll start with the first verse. In the beginning, God
okay.
created the heavens and the earth. Earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's the scripture telling us that the Spirit was present. Okay, Brother Eric, what do you have
Amen.
In Job 26:13?
I'm going to start at 10. He created the horizons when he separated the waters. He set boundaries for the day and night. The foundation of heaven trembled at his rebuke. By his power, sea grew calm. By his skill, he crushed the great sea monster. 13. His spirit made the heavens beautiful, and his power pierced the gliding serpent.
Amen.
14. These are some
Amen.
Of the minor things he does, merely a whisper of his power. Who can understand the thunder of his power?
So sum that up for us right quick. Just sum it up.
Well, it says by his spirit.
Amen.
He made the heavens beautiful, and by his power he pierced the gliding serpent, which was Satan. So God's spirit was a part of all that God was doing in the Old Testament at the beginning of creation. And
right.
We don't understand
this
is just a minor thing that he's done, merely a whisper of his power. But who humanly can understand the thunder of his power, which means none of us can.
Amen. Amen. So, Brett, let's get the last one.
Okay. It says, till the Spirit is poured on us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest.
Amen. So that's Isaiah 32:15. So, okay, I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. What translation was that, Brett, you read?
New International Version.
Okay, the NLT says, until at last, I'm going to read before that. It says, it's talking about, beat your breast in sorrow for your bountiful farms and your fruitful grapes, for your land will be overgrown with thorns and briars. Your joyful home and happy towns will be gone. The palace and the city will be deserted, and busy towns will be empty. Wild donkeys will frolic, and flocks will graze in the empty forts and watchtowers. Until at last, the Spirit is poured out on us from heaven. Then the wilderness will become a fertile field, and it goes on to describe it. But the point is saying here, it is the Spirit that is enacted from heaven. It's the Spirit in the Old Testament that's in operation. So we see the manifestation of the Trinity. We're looking this time at the Holy Spirit. So we've seen that the Spirit is a creation. We've seen that the Spirit has created the heavens. We've seen the manifestation of the Spirit and how he pours out an abundance to deal with what's going on in the lives of Isaiah when he's talking about what's going on with the people. It is the Spirit that then pours out all of this. The wilderness becomes a fertile field. The fertile field yields bountiful crops. Justice rules. It's the Spirit that pours out, that manifests that. And that's when the Lord blesses his people, through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. So anybody else want to say anything quickly about how we see the Spirit participating creatively?
This is Eric. I don't know that I want to say anything, but I do have a question to ask.
Sure.
And I think this is something that our listeners may want to know. Do we understand why it's the Spirit and not God himself?
Okay, that's a good question. You know, but I think, well, this is Dr. Susie. I'm going to give my two cents, and I'm going to let everybody else add theirs as well. But we understand that they are God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we realize, as we said earlier, 3 months ago, as we looked at the Trinity, that each of the persons of the Trinity have different roles that they play.
That's true, but that's absolely true. All three are
go ahead and add something to that.
Of authority. Well, this is my, this is Eric, this is my feeble attempt. So let me put that out there. It has to be the Spirit from my perspective, because the Spirit is the one that makes atonement for man and his sin. God is too righteous to have to deal with us. Because if he does deal with us, we are for destruction, because God is holy and pure. But in the Spirit, who makes atonements for us, and God has accepted that, the Spirit is our rightful emissary, if you will, intermediary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it behooves the Spirit to move upon our part. And I know that can,
okay.
And I'm not trying to confuse anybody, but all three have their area of operation. But when it
right.
comes to mankind,
and
Jesus had to come and die and serve that purpose, and then he told us that the Spirit would come. And so the Spirit has always been in that function.
I guess for me, Eric, as well, is the Spirit's always part of anything that's creative, and the world is created for humanity to exist in that relationship to be established, as far as we know. And so, but we also need to be mindful, and I think that's the whole reason why we're using the study of, we started off talking about the Trinity, then we started talking about God the Father and Mother, then we talked about God as Jesus, now we're talking about the Holy Spirit. So I think we need to be mindful on how we use the terminology God, because they're all God, but God as Father, Mother, God as parent, that God, that part of the Godhead, as you said, has been separated, so he does not, or she, God does not interact with humanity's sinfulness. Because God can't be in the midst of that, God's self. But the other manifestations of God have chosen to interact and to bring forth fruit from humanity. You know, the Jesus coming to be the one that saves and restores, and the Holy Spirit being the one that empowers and lives with and endows and, you know, strengthens and empowers them to live the life of a Christian. So, like I said earlier, is that each has their function, but we have to remember that they're all God. And I think a lot of times we start to forget that by the verbiage that we use. Not that you forget it, but I'm talking about other people. You know, they see Jesus as one thing and the Holy Spirit is another thing, but they're all just personhoods of God that have different functions. Dr. Nooks.
Amen. Amen. And I just wanted to, you know, compliment what you and Eric are saying. God says, you know, Spirit says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And when Jesus says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world," then Jesus says, "I'm going to send another comforter." And that comforter is the Spirit. So it's a rare privilege, my sisters and brothers, to understand that the Spirit of God is dwelling in us. And that Spirit of God is acting, is working in us. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came upon people. The Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God empowered people. So and just like Brother Eric is saying, that Spirit interacted with humanity, with flesh, and that Spirit then allowed people to do things that they could not do by themselves. And I think that's something that we need to understand. And when God's Spirit is dwelling inside of us, and we read it earlier, that we're never alone, that Spirit of God is then also empowering us to do things that that we could not do on our own. Like in Matthew 28 and 18 through 20, you know, when Jesus says, "Lo, I'm with you always," you know, to make disciples in the New Testament, then we can't do that by ourselves, but we can do that through the presence of God, through the Spirit. So, you know, God's presence in us and God's presence in the Old Testament was in spirit form. So I think it's so wonderful, important for us to understand, just like Dr. Susie said, when God, the Spirit, and it moved upon the face of the earth, the Spirit of God, and then it says, Emmanuel, God, you know, Emmanuel, we created humankind, so that was Elohim. So the Spirit and the Son and the Father were there in creation that made people. So the Spirit has always been there, and that Spirit interacts with humanity and empowers us.
Amen.
So let's look at, go ahead, Brother Brett.
I was going to say, I think the best example of what we're talking about right now was Moses. Because when Moses went up on the mountain, God told him, "You cannot look at me or you'll die."
Right. So right now we're talking about the Spirit participating in creation.
Right. But what I'm trying to say is that the Spirit of God went into Moses that allowed Moses to do all the things that God needed to do in order for his people to be free. And I think that's a good example of what we're talking about tonight.
Okay. Well, our focus right now was the Spirit participating in creation. We're going to get to those other things, but you're exactly right. Those are things that the Spirit does. So the Spirit gives life to humanity and others. So let's look at how the Spirit gives life to humanity. Psalms 104:29-30. Can somebody read Psalms 104:29-30, and Dr. Nooks, could you get Psalm 2:7? Eric, could you get Psalms 104:29-30?
Yeah.
If you don't, I've got it. If you don't have it.
Yeah, I've got it. I've got it.
Okay.
104th book of Psalms 29:30. But if you turn away from them, they panic. When you take away their breath, they die and turn again to dust. When you send your Spirit, new life is born to replenish all the living of the earth.
So the Holy Spirit is renewing, right? The Holy Spirit gives life. Amen?
Yeah, that's
true. When you
true.
Give it up. Do we need to read more of that to see that? It says, these all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die. So this is saying that it is the Holy Spirit that gives life. Because when the Holy Spirit removes the breath, then they're no longer there. When you send the Spirit, then they're created. So when the Spirit is there, you've got life. When the Spirit is not, there's death. Y'all agree with that?
This is Eric. Yeah, that's
okay.
Pretty plain.
Okay, Dr. Nooks, can you read Genesis 2:7 or whatever you need to read of that? I have it if you don't. Get off and mute, Dr. Nooks. Hello? I'll go ahead and read it. Genesis 2:7. It says,
then the Lord,
I'm going to read the... Okay, we couldn't hear you, so go ahead.
Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul or living creature.
Okay, in this context, the word living being, living spirit, in different translations, spirit is the same as soul or being. It's also translated as spirit. And so here again, we see where there is life that's been given to humanity. So we've looked at two things. We've seen the spirit in the old. We're talking about how we manifest the spirit in the Old Testament, how it was viewed, how we saw it manifesting. We saw it in creation. We saw that the spirit gave life to humanity and other creatures. So now let's look at the spirit strives with sinners. So let's look at Genesis 6:3. And Brother Eric or Dr. Nooks, whoever, or Brett, whichever one of y'all get that first, Genesis 6:3. And we want to see the context, so you might want to read more than just the third verse. Genesis 6:3. Might want to start with one.
You can start with the first verse.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
When man began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive. And they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years." Should I read
go
on
ahead and
a little
read.
Further?
Yeah, go ahead and read a little further.
The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown.
Go on.
The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man of the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, "I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them." But Noah
Amen.
Found favor in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So what we find here with this one, Brother Nooks, is that the spirit, the Lord was struggling with them and the spirit was grieved. God was grieved because he said he wouldn't contend with man. He wouldn't continue to be involved with this wickedness, this evil that they participated in, and God was unhappy with their behavior. Now, I don't know how deep we want to get into the Nephilim. Anybody want to talk about that, or we can pick it up at another time? Brother Eric, any of y'all want to talk about that?
No, I mean,
okay.
I don't.
Well, that's a whole long discussion.
It is. That's why I was trying to figure out if we could, let's just go on, and we'll pick that up at another time. But we do see how, because man in his wickedness grieved God's heart, and he said he wouldn't tarry, he wouldn't fool with man forever. You know, the scripture that Dr. Nooks read was, it said, how did this, who, you did read that, Dr. Nooks, didn't you?
Yes, yes.
It said that my spirit will not contend with man forever for he, because of his behavior, his mortal attitude, his behavior. And so his wickedness is what messed things up. So, let's look at John 16:8-11. John 16:8-11 to reinforce this idea in the new. I just want to pick that up. John 16:8-11. Can you read that, whoever gets that?
John this is 16. Eric. I've got it.
Okay.
I'm going to start at verse
5. You can start at 5. Yeah.
I'll start at 5. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and none of you have asked me, where am I going? Instead, you are very sad. but it is actually best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the counselor won't come. If I don't go away, if I do go away, he will come, because I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince the world of its convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is unbelief in him. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the prince of this world has already been judged.
So what we see, again, this is a reiteration of what was happening in the Old Testament when he said that the sin grieves the spirit. God wants us to have, wanted to have a relationship with us. And when we fall short, he says we can't continue in this way. And thank the Lord that because of our shortcomings, he provided a way for us to correct that, and it's through our relationship with Jesus Christ. But I just wanted to show a couple examples of how the Spirit strives with sinners, and how that's related to how he works to convict people of their sins. And so let's look at how the Spirit used to come upon people. I think Dr. Nooks alluded to this earlier. Instead of this, how does the Spirit interact with us now in the New Testament, Brother Eric? He does what? Does he live with us, live within us?
He rests, rules, and abides for those who have invited him in.
Amen. And those who are Christians, absolutely. So what we're trying to see is it wasn't quite the same way in the Old Testament on how the Spirit interacted with man. So let's look at a couple of situations with that. If you would read Joshua, about Joshua as an example, Joshua in Numbers 27:18, Dr. Nooks, if you would read about Othniel in Judges 3:10, Brett, are you there? Would you read about Gideon in Gideon 6:34? So, Eric, we're going to talk about how Joshua, how the Spirit came upon Joshua in Numbers 27:18. Dr. Nooks, we're going to talk about how the Spirit came upon Othniel in Judges 3:10. And I think I just lost Brett again. So, can we get those two?
So,
yeah,
Numbers.
Go ahead.
This is Eric. I've got Numbers 27:18.
Okay, and we're going.
But I'm going to start it.
Joshua.
We're talking about Joshua, but I'm going to start at 15.
Right.
And Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, the God of the spirits of all living things, please appoint a new leader for the community. Give them someone who will lead them into battle, so the people of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd. This is 18. The Lord replied, take Joshua, son of Nun, who has the spirit in him, and lay your hands on him. Present him to Eleazar, the priest, before the whole community, and publicly commission him with the responsibility of leading the people. Transfer your authority to him so the whole community of Israel will obey him. When direction from the Lord is needed, Joshua will stand before Eleazar, the priest, who will determine the Lord's will by means of sacred lot. This is how Joshua and the rest of the community of Israel will discover what they should do. So Moses did as the Lord commanded and presented Joshua to Eleazar, the priest, and the whole community. Moses laid his hands on him and commissioned him to his responsibilities, just as the Lord had commanded through Moses.
Amen.
So it says that the Spirit was in him, and the Lord wanted to let the community know that he was being directed by the Spirit. So he had Moses, who the folks knew had the Spirit, lay his hands on him as a sign of commission, but also given a sign of transforming a power from one to another.
I would like to read mine. Does anybody have a different version?
That was the New Living Translation.
Does anyone have a different version?
I'm sure we could get it if you want it. Do you have one already there?
Yeah.
The King James is here, and this is the King James, and in 18 it says, "The Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hands upon him."
Okay.
So that's the King James and the New Living.
Okay. I was trying to get Numbers 27 with the message. I'm gonna read it. I've got it right here. Thank you. Being patient.
Okay.
It says, here we go. I'm gonna start at the 15th, if that's okay. I'll start at the 15th verse, repeating it. It says, Moses responded to God, "Let God, the God of the spirits." I'm not having a good day. There we go. My whole phone just went dead. Oh, 1 second.
I can get the message. I've got a copy of it.
Do you?
Give me
okay.
just a second. I've got it here. Numbers 27. 27, I'll 18. Start at
15. Yeah. 30, I got it. Moses responded to God, "Let God, the God of the spirits of everyone living, set a man over this community to lead them, to show the way ahead and bring them back to home, and bring them back home, so God's community will not be like sheep without a shepherd." God said to Moses, "Take Joshua the son of Nun, the spirit is in him, and place your hand on him. Stand him before Eleazar the priest in front of the entire congregation and commission him with everyone watching. Pass your magisterial authority over to him so that the whole congregation of the people of Israel will listen obediently to him." So I guess I want us to see that he actually laid hands on him as well. And it goes on to say in 22 to 23, Moses followed God's order. He took Joshua and stood him before Eleazar, the priest, in front of the entire community. He laid hands on him and commissioned him. So let's continue to see if we see a pattern. Can somebody read about Othniel in Judges?
Yes, I have it. Judges 3, I'll start at verse 9. "But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the people of Israel who saved them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord gave Cushan Rissa Phaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed over Cushan Rissa Phaim. So the land had rest 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died."
Okay. So what did we hear about how the Spirit...
Spirit of the Lord gave him the ability to judge Israel and also gave him the ability to lead in war. So gave his enemies over to him. So he prevailed in battle.
Amen. Amen. So it's the Spirit of God that came on him. Like this one said, 9 through 10 says, "The people of Israel cried out to God, and God raised up a Savior who rescued them, Caleb's nephew, Othniel, son of his younger brother, Kenaz. The Spirit of God came on him, and he rallied Israel. So it's like the spirits, the presence of God descends or ascends, what's the word, descends on someone that comes upon them so that he dwells kind of with them. Let's see it again because I think it comes real clear in Saul. So let's go on and read one more. Eric, if you could get Samson's story, 13 Samson, 13:25.
What book?
Samson is in Judges, I think
is. Okay.
And 1 Samuel,
yep.
If someone get the one about Saul, 1 Samuel 10, 9 through 10. And whoever gets that, is that you, Eric? Are you going to get that one? Anybody here? Eric, are you still there?
I'm here. You
I
might
guess,
be on
I
mute.
Don't know what this. Yeah, I don't know.
What do you
what's
want?
Going on?
1 Samuel.
1 Samuel what?
1 Samuel 10, 9 and 10. And while you have 1 Samuel, get 1 Samuel 16 and 4. And then Dr. Nooks and I are going to read about Samson.
So I've got 1 Samuel 10.
Okay, go ahead.
And Samuel turned and started to leave. God changed his heart. And as Samuel, I'm sorry, as Saul turned and started to leave, God changed his heart. And all Samuel's signs were fulfilled that day. When Saul and his servant arrived at Gibeah, they saw the prophets coming toward them. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he too began to prophesy. In 16 and 4, so Samuel
so
did
wait,
as the Lord
instructed. Before you go on, what happened to the spirit in Samuel at that point? Because we'll see something different in this next one that you read. What happened to Samuel with the one you just read?
Well, Saul's heart was changed as he started to leave, and the Spirit of God came upon Saul.
Amen. So we see the Spirit of God coming upon him.
And
the manifestation of the Spirit being with him is that he prophesied. That's how we know that the Spirit was upon him, is because he was able to prophesy. So what are we going to hear about this next one? Let's look at 16:4.
First Samuel 16:4.
Mm-hmm.
So Samuel did as the Lord instructed him. When he arrived at Bethel, the leaders of the town became afraid. What's wrong? They asked. Do you come in peace? Yes, Samuel replied. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And Samuel performed the purification ritual for Jesse and his sons and invited them to dinner. When he arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed one. But the Lord said to Samuel, no, don't judge by the appearance or height. I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't make decisions the way that you do. People judge by our appearance, but the Lord looks at the person's thoughts and intentions. Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, this is not the one the Lord has chosen. Next, Jesse summoned Shemaiah. But Samuel said, neither is this the one the Lord has chosen. In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. And Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? They're still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the field watching the sheep. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him. He was a rude and handsome, with pleasant eyes, and the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the olive oil that he had brought and poured it on David's head, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him from that day on, and Samuel returned to Ramah.
Amen. How far did you read? Was that 14?
I read all the way through 13.
Would you read 14 as well?
Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear.
So we see a couple of things. We see how the Spirit of the Lord can come upon somebody, and we see how the Spirit of the Lord can depart from somebody. So this is kind of a little the beginning of us just touching the fact that we just want everybody to know that the Trinity is present throughout the Old Testament. Everybody is all the Godhead is present and active during the whole time. And so what we need to do is acknowledge that and know when we're in our readings and understanding of what's going on that God has promised to be there and God is always there. So that was my objective for this Bible study tonight, was that I would take us through the Old Testament and show just a few aspects of us being able to see how the Holy Spirit was present in the Old Testament. For example, the Holy Spirit inspired holiness in the Old Testament believers in Psalms 143:10, if you get a chance to read that. And then Scripture promised that someday God would put His Spirit in us in a way that will cause us to live according to His statutes. That's said in Ezekiel. And so no longer is the Word just written in stone, but it's written on our heart. And also, we want us to look at and understand that the Spirit is crucial and helping God's people anticipate the ministry of the Messiah. So this is the last one I want us to look at. Will somebody look at Isaiah 11, 1 through 5? And this is a Trinitarian preview of the working of the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. Somebody could get that. And then Dr. Nooks? Or Eric, whoever gets it first.
I have Isaiah 11:1-5.
Okay. Would you read that, please? And also the second verse talks about how the Spirit of the Lord rests on him. So if you would read that and we can listen as you read that.
There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. The righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins.
Amen. What does this say, Dr. Nix?
It talks about what Jesus, it foretells Jesus coming, being a righteous judge. And being with
Amen.
The poor and the meek. And sometimes we forget that, and we want to, our culture wants us to be with the powerful and the mighty and the wealthy. And Jesus was with the meek and the poor. And really, our whole scripture says that. And that really
Amen.
Is a gauge of the morality of a country, of a nation, is how they treat their poor. And those
Amen.
that have less. So this foretells the coming of Jesus out of the stump of the root of Jesse.
Amen. So can I get everybody kind of to sum up how they understand and what they've experienced as tonight, as that we understand that we find the Holy Spirit throughout the whole Bible, and we want to manifest that. We want to highlight that we definitely see him in the Old Testament tonight. So what big one thing that we talked about tonight jumps out at you as a point to remember or remind yourself of when you read the Old Testament about and to remind yourself that the Holy Spirit is present, even in the Old Testament.
Well, this is James. What jumped out at me is just that the Spirit is with us, and we can't hide from it, we can't run from it. And that's a good thing, and helps us to know that we're never alone. And that
Amen.
Gives us some security and comfort and strength. So I rejoice at that today.
And Brother Eric, what jumps out at you that will be a reminder for you as you're reading the Old Testament to remember that the Holy Spirit is present?
Well, I'd have to say the same thing that Dr. Nook said, because I live in that 139 Psalms every day. But I think what's also important for our listeners is we show that the Spirit can be with you, but the Spirit in the Old Testament could also be taken away from you, said, as God did with Saul. He said he took his spirit and sent a tormenting spirit. And you need to be mindful of that. But that is a possibility. And I don't know that we train people on that. You know, if you're not trying to have an authentic relationship with God, the Spirit can slip away from you. If you're not feeding that with the positiveness of God's word and prayer and study and psalms and hymns, You can slip away.
Amen.
You can slip
away.
So.
Amen. This is Dr. Susie. I just wanted to say that, you know, to me, I think what's important about this and for our readers tonight is to remember that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit's activity in the Scripture is not limited to the New Testament, but it's very active in the Old Testament, and we need to remember that. And I think we forget a lot. And I think the reason we're reviewing this tonight is so that we can remember specifically, as for me, as we read that Isaiah passage in Isaiah 11, that God's chosen people are always getting wisdom, understanding, counsel, and knowledge from God. Faithfulness comes as we do what as we are faithful to God, as we're obedient. The Spirit will come upon, in the Old Testament, came upon those people. And we saw Gideon, we saw Joshua, we saw Othniel, we saw Samuel, we saw Samson, we saw Saul. People who had a relationship with God chose to let the Spirit use them. And as a result, the Spirit came upon them. And when, in Saul's case, when he did not do what was right, when he disobeyed, as Eric said, the Spirit was removed from him, and he didn't know, he no longer had that favor. And so tonight, I just want to celebrate the fact that God has promised to always be with us, and we can see that not only is that true with us today, but that's always been true. And so that God has been with us from yesterday, today, and forever, that God has always promised to be with us and has done so, even through the Old Testament as we go through. So we thank the Lord as we go forward, and we just ask tonight for a blessing. Dr. Nix, would you close us in prayer and extend an invitation as we close?
Amen. Amen. So God, we just thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for your Spirit, and we rejoice at that, and we are comforted by it. And there may be someone that's listening in on our podcast that may want to give their life to Christ, and we invite you to do so. We invite you to pray with us and say, God, I come to you, and I realize that I am a sinner, and I realize that I've made some mistakes in my life. And right now, God, I open my heart, and I want you to come in and be my Lord and be my Savior. I confess to you with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that God rose, you rose from the dead, and God rose you from the dead, and that you're living right now and at the right hand of the Father, pleading my case. And because you are in my heart, in my life today, I'm saved. And I rejoice because you have saved me. And I am with you, and you are with me, and I celebrate that. And so if you prayed that with me, you are saved today, and we celebrate with you in Jesus' name. And God, we also lift up to you many that are sick, many that are sick that we know, many that are close to us, and many people that are maybe even passed, and families are grieving, and many people that are on Alzheimer's or dementia that are grieving the loss of their independence and being able to think and to move about, people that are in the hospital, people that have given up, and they perhaps don't have hope, and we want to introduce them to the hope that comes through Jesus Christ, not only in this life but in the life to come. And so we lift up the people that are sick to you today, Jesus, and also those that are not physically sick but psychologically and spiritually sick and socially sick. And God, we just come against Satan right now that is trying to deceive the hearts and the minds of people all over the world and convince us that we don't need you. But God, we want everyone to know that we need you. And so we lift up Jesus and we lift up the Holy Spirit. We lift up God the Father, God the Mother, and we commend them to you that are listening in. Don't let anybody run you away from Jesus. And that is exactly what Satan's trying to do. And so we ask, God, that you would touch the minds and the hearts of people, open their eyes, and send your people, your ambassadors, as witnesses, that they might tell the story, they might live the story, that people might see you through them. Help us, God. We need you. And we thank you for this Bible study, and we thank you for our leader, Dr. Susie. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We thank you for joining us tonight at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Join us next Tuesday, May 8th, as we talk about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.